I doubt if any of us have seen many of us angry. I've never seen any of you angry. But if I ask you, but the husbands could say, I've seen my wife angry, and the wife could say, I've seen my husband angry, and the children could say, I've seen my parents angry, and the parents could say, I've seen my children angry, but we don't let each other know we're angry very often. So I can make that statement, which may not be grammatically correct, that I don't think any of us have seen many of us angry. Just don't think that. But we want to speak today on how to conquer anger. Now, before we begin, I want to let you know that some of you may be excused, if you want to be excused, if it's not going to fit you, because you're probably saying already, well, I never get angry. I never get angry. So let's use the word wrathful, or let's use the word irritated, or maybe we could use the word exasperated. But what I want to do is just show you 17 words on recognizing the symptoms of anger. And as we look at these recognizing the symptoms of anger, what I'd like for you to do is all of you to leave to the door, and then if you pick up on the first two words I read it, let's move it to the first two. Then one or two of you could come in. If any of you have impatience or sarcasm, then that would let you come in to hear the sermon. Because after we hit 17 words, if you don't hit any of these, you may go home, because it won't make any difference. What about raising your voice? Does anybody ever raise your voice? That is a symptom of anger. What about cursing? Okay, let's look at two more. Angry look. Have any of you ever given an angry look? All right. What about threatening? Or silence? You know, that is a symptom of anger. Dilated pupils could be a symptom of anger. Now, these that we have here is for us to recognize, I do have anger. Pastor says, I say to myself, I'm not an angry person. But if you hit any of these, then it is a symptom of anger, whether you believe it or not. Look at the next two. Harshness, name-calling, comparison, and mocking. If comparison enters in, if mocking enters in, if you start calling people names, then this is a symptom of anger. Look at the next one. Violence, a flushed face, a tight jaw, or ridiculing. These are symptoms of anger. Okay? Anger lets you know that there is a problem. Thank you, Irita. So if you don't hit any of these, I would say, hasta vista, you may go. But I have seen all of you nodding your heads or saying yes or no. So this is, when you lose control, anger is in charge. When you lose control, anger is in charge. Now, we say, you still haven't convinced me that I have anger. But we are an angry people. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn, if you will, to Proverbs 16:32. Proverbs 16:32. And in this teaching lesson this day, I just want us all to go away in just a little bit having a handle on what can and is being used by the evil one to tear down our life. Proverbs 16:32. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Or one translation says, better is a person who can rule his own spirit than a warrior who can take a city. Or another translation, better is a man who is not angry, one who can control his anger, than one who is a warrior and who takes the city. So what we want to do is to be able to control our spirit and to recognize that when anger strikes, we've got to work against it. Now, I've written a few notes here about anger. Will all of you agree that we have an Adamic nature because we have been born? We agree. Okay, we've all been born, so we have this Adamic nature. And the Adamic nature is one that tends to receive from Adam what he had, and he had anger. and he had all the other things. He had sin, and so it's been brought down through the bloodline. So all of you have been born with a father. So anger comes through the father, because that is how sin enters in. Sin enters in through the male, and that is why the Virgin Mary came about as she did, so that the Holy Ghost was the one who conceived her, not a man, because it's through men that sin comes into the world. That doesn't excuse you ladies, because you were born too. So let's see, we are all right together here. So we have anger because of the Adamic nature. But this anger that we have should not betray us into sin, because the scripture says in Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger. So if we got the anger, we can refrain from anger, refrain from these 17 symptoms that we saw listed. Now, there is justified anger, and I must correct myself. I have seen you angry. I have seen some of you angry. When you were in deliverance and when you were working with people in ministry, I have seen you anger. But your anger was vented toward the evil one. Jesus had justifiable anger when he went through the temple and he said, my house should be called a what? A house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Very good. And so he had anger. In fact, the word that's used there for anger is that he snorted like a horse. He snorted like a horse. He was so angry. That is justifiable anger. To be angry at sin, but not the sinner. To be angry at what Satan does, and be angry at him too, but not the person. So the sinful exemplifications of anger would be Cain. He got angry, and what did he do? He murdered somebody. Balaam got angry, and what did he do to his poor donkey? Was that anger that rose up in him? What about Saul? He got angry at David. And what about Jonah? Jonah got angry at God. So anger brings its own punishment. Proverbs 19:19, an angry man must pay the penalty. A hot-headed man must pay the penalty. Proverbs 25:28, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who gets angry. So Paul says in 1 Timothy, I would pray that I would be free from anger. I would be free from anger. So I want to show you, if you will, some causes of anger. And as we work through this little study, here are some causes of anger. First of all, the sin nature. And let's take time to read these scriptures, if we will. Somebody, would you turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12? Romans 5:12, the sin nature. And I'll tell you what let's do. Let me just show, I read a rundown all the way to number 3. Let's look at all 3 of them. And the different people can turn to these scriptures that we'll see here. That's good. Let's stop at number 3. Sin nature, Romans 5:12, works of the flesh, Galatians 3:8. And iniquities of the forefathers, Exodus 25. Somebody read, would you, Romans 5:12, loud so we all can hear it.
When Adam sinned, the gain of the entire human race. His sin spread death throughout all the world, so everything began to grow old and die for all sin.
Okay, so one cause of anger, which I would list as number 1, would be the sin nature, the Adamic nature. Secondly, works of the flesh. Now, with number 1, let's bear in mind that it's blotted out by the blood. It's blotted out by the blood. Now, secondly, the works of the flesh, Colossians 3:8. Somebody read that, would you?
But now also put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of the mouth.
Okay. Now, what Paul is saying here is to put off anger. You know, you put on your clothes. Well, he wants you to take off some certain things, and one thing he says take off of you is take off anger. Get rid of your anger. And number 3, the iniquities of the forefathers. Somebody read Exodus 20, verse 5, would you?
Exodus
Exodus 20, verse 5.
Do not bow down to any idol of worship. I'll worship it because I am the Lord your God, and I tolerate no rivals. I bring punishment to those who hate me and on their descendants down to the third and fourth generation.
Okay. I really, you can sit up and rest your knees if you want to for a minute. Let's stay a moment on the iniquities of the forefathers. And how many generations did you read, Greg?
Third or fourth.
Third or fourth. So, in other words, your great-great-great-great-grandfather who had iniquities, is that what the Bible says is going to be passed down to you? Okay, first of all, what is an iniquity? What is an iniquity? According to Strong's, iniquity is to be bent. Iniquity is to be bent. It means not straight. Now, we're not talking about sin. Iniquities are not sins. Sins are not iniquities. Now, the iniquities that Greg read about that's going to be passed on to the third and fourth generation the word iniquity means to be bent, not straight, wrung out of course, a tendency to do wrong, which equates to willful events. Willful events. So iniquities is not sin. Iniquities, and listen to this, iniquities is not action. Iniquities is character. Say that. Iniquities is character. Iniquities is character. And so when the Bible says that iniquities are going to be passed down to the third and fourth generation, it is just what it says is true. Don't we have, in some cases, the results of the iniquities, the character of father, grandfather, and grandmother? What about people who have a problem with their heart? Their dad had a problem with their heart. The iniquities, which is characteristics. We have physical characteristics that are brought down to us, the third and fourth generation. And so if we can recognize that we have physical characteristics that are carried down to the third and fourth generation, what about the other type characteristics, the iniquities, the idea of being crooked? And these are the things that we're dealing with today under, for example, anger. Now, the scripture also says that not only does he carry on these iniquities of the third and fourth generation, he also says that he gives blessings to the subsequent generations. And that's why the other day I spent some time blessing not only my children, but I bless my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and my great-great-grandchildren and my great-great. I didn't go to 1,000, but I went way down the line, because if the iniquities are passed on, why can't the blessing? Well, the Bible says the blessings are carried on down the line as well. So iniquities is not action, but it is the character, and that's what David says in Psalm 32:5, the iniquity of my sin. The iniquity of my sins. So iniquities are not actions, but it is the character. And this is the cause of anger. We have the iniquities of our forefathers, which can and certainly is our sinful nature. So if we pass on medical weaknesses, we can pass on spiritual weaknesses. And don't want to beat a dead horse to death, but remember Abraham lied about his wife to the king, and he said, oh, she's so beautiful, but she is my, what? Sister. Well, in fact, she actually was his wife. Okay, this was an iniquity that was put into a sin. His son did the very same thing. The iniquities of the father passed on to the son. Abraham's son did the very same thing when he got into a position with a different king, and he said, oh, she is just my sister. She's not my wife. So this is a classical example, people, of the iniquities of a father being passed on to the son. Iniquity is a curse in the sense of, yes, you could say that. You could say iniquity is a curse. So because we want to break the curses upon us, we want to break the iniquities of us, there is a difference between the two words, but they are synonymous. They are together. So we have the iniquities of our forefathers. Now the next one, the next one is a good one. Somebody turn, if you will, to Ephesians 4:27. Say that. Going to bed angry. How many of you have gone to bed angry? If you go to bed angry, well, what does Ephesians 4:26 say? Somebody read it. Okay. Well, read 26 too. That's good. Okay. When you're angry, you give a foothold to the devil. Okay. All right. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, in this first one here, in the sin nature, it's blotted out by the blood. On the works of the flesh, it must be put off. In the iniquities of our Father, we must acknowledge them. But here, going to bed angry gives ground to Satan. It gives ground to Satan. Because see, we've got to be angry.
If you let it go down in the night,
then it becomes sin. So let's run that through again. We all have anger because we are human beings. And so if we get angry based upon one of those 17 things we looked at, then the point is we cannot go to bed angry, or then it will become sin. Why? Because we've not dealt with it as we should have. Now on this idea of going to bed angry, when you go to bed angry, you are giving ground to Satan to work on. Now let's look at something here. I'll let you hold that out, really. Remember years ago we had the three dots, the little dot, the medium-sized dot, and the big dot, where we talked about we are made up of a body. This is the body that you see. We're made up of our soul, which is the mind, the emotions, and the will. That's what I don't see, but I see attributes of. And then we're made up of the spirit. And the idea is that we are to grow the spirit so that it can get bigger within our body and be more ruled by the spirit than ruled by the mind, the will, and the emotions. Now, we just read that scripture that says, don't go to bed angry, because if you do, you're going to give ground to the enemy. Now, their battleground is right there.
Can I give a definition of that angry?
Okay. Okay.
The word describes a passion that is furious and raging with a desire for revenge. It is so intense a passion that it will terminate by attempting to kill. Christians are to avoid that kind of
experience. Okay. But how can we avoid it if in this battlefield that we have, it is so taken up by strongholds? I know you remember every sermon that I present. So about 10, 12 years ago, the sermon, remember, the battlefield of the mind? Everybody remembers the battlefield of the mind? This is the battlefield. And these are areas, not medically, but spiritually, these are areas that have to be dealt with in our mind. It is where the mind, the will, and the emotions take place. That is the battlefield. And we just read, don't give ground to Satan. So with this mind picture in our visual, I want to go to this. The mind, the will, the emotion is in the middle, and we've got the spirit and we've got the body. Don't go to bed angry, lest you give a piece of the battlefield to Satan. So this represents our soul, and they're all kind of little squares in here. When you go to bed angry, then you're going to give a space to Satan, and that's what Satan really loves. So when you go to bed angry, Satan wants to put a stronghold in your being. So let's just put that there. There's a fortress. There is a stronghold that has been placed in this battlefield of your mind. That's the stronghold. And what do you know from your study that is over the stronghold is what? A principality. A principality. So if we could say this is one area in your life that you have given over to Satan, and we're talking about anger, you've gone to bed angry, then Satan has accomplished what he wants to accomplish. And let's just say down here we have another stronghold. The principality is over the stronghold. Do not go to bed angry lest Satan gets a stronghold in your mind. So let's move this one down here to give room for this one. Now, when you go to bed angry, Satan gets the stronghold. He gets the castle. He gets the stronghold. There's the principality over, and this is the stronghold right here. This is the surrendered ground. It is this little square that you have let Satan put the fortress in. Then he sends tormentors, and these tormentors toward you can be despair, it can be lust, it can be fear. These three come as a result of you giving him this ground. It's a stronghold. Any questions about that? Do you see the visual putting up that fortress? Okay, before we go to the next one, just one more comment about the fortress. You can't see, and I cannot see, but right now there are little fortresses in your mind, in the ground that you have given Satan. And that's why Satan sends these tormentors from the stronghold. Now, the salvation of our soul, we sang that earlier, you know, depends upon how much ground or how much space we give back to God. Ephesians 4:27 talk about, as we just read, about the ground that is given Satan. And if we have these strongholds that we do not deal with, then this is the ground that is yielded to Satan. And if you don't conquer the giants, what will they do? They will conquer you. A good comparison is Canaan's land. Remember, the children of Israel were asked to go into Canaan's land, but what did they have to do as they went into the land? They had to capture the giants. And the first city that they had to come against was the city of Jericho. And the Jericho was a city with that was considered a walled city, a fortress. And the children of Israel had to conquer that fortress before they could enter the land and to receive the blessings from the land. And so the first thing they had to do was to conquer the fortress of Jericho, because it was called a walled city. The second city they had to conquer was Ai, and Ai's defeat came about because of hidden sins. And because of this, there was a great deal of difficulty. So the ground that we do not give back to God is going to be taken by Satan. Now, conquered during our soul after salvation, salvation of the spirit is instantaneous. Salvation of the soul is continuous, James 1:21. Salvation of the body, of course, is given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Wrath, anger, gives Satan ground, and Satan builds the stronghold. So here are some steps to regain the ground. Steps to regain the ground. First of all, confess the root sin of pride. James 4:6. Secondly, repent of bitterness. 1 John 1:9. 3, claim Christ's blood. 1 Peter 1. And then ask God to regain the ground that I have given Satan. The pastor was explaining that he was talking to a person who had a great deal of anger, and he wanted to lead the person through this prayer to help regain the ground. And he first said, you must confess the root sin of pride. Well, the person could do that. Secondly, you must repent of bitterness. The person could do that. Third, claim Christ's blood. That's a pretty easy thing to do, too. But four was the part that was very, very hard for the person to follow through. And that was to ask God to regain the ground that I have given Satan. Get the prince out. If you get the prince out, then the demons go out too. So he says, pray this prayer. ask God to regain the ground that you have given over to Satan. Psalm 23:3, you know that. Restore my soul. Restore my soul. Restore that ground. Restore that ground. And this is important for us to do in every area, but especially anger. So last night I said, God, I want to give back to you that ground that's in my soul, that little check square, where I have allowed Satan to come in and build a fortress. Because from that fortress is going to go all these tormentors, which is going to mess me up further. Then the fifth thing in the steps to regain the ground is to confess the secret sins. Young people, confess them to the Lord, confess them to your parents. Sometimes they don't even know, because the scripture says, he who covers his sin shall not prosper. So repeat just the regaining the ground. Confess the root sin of pride. Repent of bitterness. Claim Christ's blood. Ask God to regain the ground. Four, confess the secret sins. And this is a way, it is the way to regain the ground that Satan has taken. Colossians 2:14, we need to turn to. Because Satan has nothing against us except what ground we give him. Colossians 2:14. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Let me make that statement again. Satan has nothing against us except what ground we give him. And Christ died. Christ died for that sin. All right, let's go to the next one. Identifying the causes of anger. After going to bed angry, we have unyielded rights. And go to the next one, too, so we can have people turn to both scriptures. Forgiving past debt. Somebody turn to Philippians 2:5. Somebody else, Matthew 18:35. We're identifying causes of anger. And another cause of anger is unyielded rights. Philippians 2:5. Somebody read, would you?
Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Give that right to God. Forgetting past debt. Somebody read Matthew 18:35. Of course, the context in this is the guy who owed like $3 million, and he asked for a mercy, and the guy gave him mercy. He went out and found somebody that owed him $10, and he would not have any mercy. God says, this is a cause of anger, forgetting past debts. And then the last one, I read it, number 7, no accountability. Hebrews 3:13. Hebrews 3:13. We are to do this to one another? And is this weekly or annually?
Daily.
Oh, it gets pretty bad. Daily, as long as we have today, so that we wouldn't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We've got people to be accountable one to another. Instant consequences, I guess. Instant consequences. Because, you know, if I ring a bell and I pull the rope and it sounds the gong, you still got a gong, and so we've got to stop at the very beginning. So these are 7 identifying causes of anger, and since we have got to recognize that we are people who have an Adamic nature of anger, I guess the bottom line is how we're going to deal with our anger. And I hope that as we go from the study now, that we can recognize that there is a possibility of giving ground to Satan in our mind where a fortress can be built. And if we don't get rid of that fortress, we're going to be in a lot of trouble because he will send the tormentors out from it. And so, in concluding, this man I read about last week was naturally irritable as anybody could possibly be. And he just got so angry about everything, Christian too. But then he said, when I find anger rising in my mind, like the fortress being built, I immediately go to the Redeemer, I confess my sins, and I do this. I give myself up to be managed by God. And isn't that the scripture? We want to have the mind of Christ. He says, I give myself up to be managed by God. Would you say that? I give myself up to be managed by God. Let's bow and pray, may we? We bless you, Father God. As David prayed, God, show us my sin. And as we think about these ramifications of anger, it is not Christ-like, except at the enemy. And so when we get to the point where we find ourselves, for example, being impatient, if we get to the point where we are raising our voice, if we have a flushed face, if we find ourselves engaged in sarcasm, threatening, name-calling, harshness, arguing, mocking, help us to know that that's going to let us know that there is anger, and anger lets us know there is a problem. And I just ask God in the name of Jesus that right now we can give back to you some of the ground that Satan has built a fortress on in this area. So go through the streets of your mind, people, right now. Walk up to that castle named anger and say, I smite you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. God, I give myself up to be managed by you in this area of anger. And when I see the symptoms arising, I will stop immediately. I will repent of them. And I will let you manage my life. Is there anybody here who could say that? Anybody? Yes. Let's stand, Mary.
I want to praise God for the freedom that there is in full surrender. You know, our pride and everything else about us tells us that we have to be in control. We have to. And in that, we put ourselves in greater bondage. And I praise God for the freedom, the absolute freedom that there is in just lifting my hands up in full surrender. Lord, you know better how to deal with me. You know I surrender to you. And I get excited when I think about it, because in him, and where his spirit is, there is a liberty.
Amen.
There is a freedom that we haven't begun to touch. Oh, I just praise him.
Let's just stand. And you know, when somebody puts a gun in your back, what do you normally do? Put your hands up. Okay, God's put the cross in your back. Put your hands up. And I say, I surrender. Let me hear you say it. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. I'll let you manage me. I'll let you manage me. I'll let you manage me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Put your hands down. And if you'd like special prayer, we want you to come forward to be prayed for. Or maybe you have just anything you'd like to present to the Lord. You may want to kneel at the altar. Yes, I do too. Exactly. Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, I know in preparing this sermon, the Lord revealed to me how I get angry and so controlled. But in many of these 17 things, I have to. Father God, Yolanda's just asking at the altar for your blessings to continue in her life and to be strong in Jesus' name. Father, I just ask you, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, if you would just bless her, bless her, bless her, bless her, bless her, God. That she goes from this place so renewed, so strengthened, that it will just baffle her what you are doing, Father God. Jesus' name.